Okay, so just a brief introduction. For folks who are Healthcare Now members and attend our regular monthly activist calls, they've heard David Krendler of the Vermont Workers Center giving us monthly updates about the really dynamic Healthcare as a Human Right campaign that's been launched in 2008 by the Vermont Workers Center. And tonight's call, we're going to feature leaders from the Vermont Workers Center to talk about the tactics they've used to build a grassroots people's movement throughout the state demanding the right to health care. I'm really excited about this discussion, and I'm so thankful for Jane, Cindy, Anya, and Mary for joining us tonight. So let me just give everyone a quick introduction to our speakers, and then we'll launch into the presentations from everyone. So we're going to hear first tonight from James Haslam, who's the director of the Vermont Workers Center, a grassroots workers' rights organization that was started in 1998 and is active in a number of national networks, including Jobs with Justice and Grassroots Global Justice. James has served as the Vermont Workers Center director since 2000, and in the past decade, he has worked on dozens of campaigns, dozens of workplace organizing campaigns helping thousands of workers form unions, win livable wages, and improve the working conditions. He has helped win policy initiatives, including helping win legislation increasing Vermont's minimum wage and healthcare worker whistleblower protection. James has worked as the lead organizer on Healthcare as a Human Right campaign since 2008 in order to reframe the healthcare debate and build a grassroots network capable of changing what was politically possible for state-based health reform. We're also going to hear from Cindy Perrin. Cindy is from the Northeast Kingdom of Vermont. She grew up in Vermont and has lived there her entire life. Cindy received her bachelor's degree in social work and then went on to work in the human services field for several years. Cindy has also enjoyed other careers in her life, but her one true passion can be seen through her photography. Cindy has been a member of the Vermont Workers Center Healthcare as a Human Right campaign for 2.5 years. We're also going to hear from Anya Rudiger, who directs the Human Right to Health program at the National Economic and Social Rights Initiative based in New York City. You can find out more at NESRI.org, which supports grassroots organizations in their human rights struggle for a universal, publicly financed healthcare system. And last but not least, we're going to hear from Mary Garish. Mary currently lives in Pennington, Vermont. Mary volunteers for many service organizations, including the Vermont Workers Center, where she is currently the co-chair of the policy committee and active in the Bennington Organizing Committee. We're going to hear more about what an organizing committee is shortly. Mary serves on the Greater Bennington Interfaith Council, as well as the Bennington Food and Fuel Fund and the Food Distribution Center. Recently, she participated in the United Nations UPR, Universal Periodic Review process in Geneva, Switzerland, as a member of the Human Rights Network team. After spending many years as a trial attorney working for legal aid and various appellate defenders' offices, she established her own trial practice in the area of civil liberties law, from which she retired 10 years ago. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to the speakers tonight. We're going to hear about the developments in Vermont and the movement building that's occurred over the past 3 years. And again, for folks listening on the line who've joined in since we started, if you have questions, go ahead and email them to me at Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at healthcare-now.org. Okay, James, are you on?
I'm on. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Thanks so much. Take it away.
Thank you so much, Katie, and thanks, everyone, for joining us. It's been an honor to work on this campaign with so many great people, and it's been amazing seeing all of the support that we've gotten from around the country. We are very excited to be working with so many folks, including hopefully many new folks on the phone tonight, to building a movement in this country for universal health care and making health care be treated as all right. So I wanted to just go through a lot of the nuts and bolts of the campaign. We were asked to sort of talk about how we got here. From our perspective, the Workers Center is, as Katie mentioned, an organization that's been around in Vermont since 1998. And in 2008, we launched the Healthcare as a Human Rights campaign with the goal of changing what was politically possible in Vermont. You know, there had been many years of universal healthcare work making the case for single payer healthcare, and many chapters over the years in Vermont about trying to push this, as there has been in many states around the country. And what we really saw as one of the missing pieces is ordinary folks, working class people, really people also affected by the crisis, being able to have a voice in it. That there had been lots of debate amongst elected officials and in some circles, but it had not been the debate that had trickled down to most of our community. And what we set out to do is to change that and truly to build a statewide effort. And from the beginning, we realized that, you know, a lot of the focus had been for years on the policy, on the financing. You know, we were strong supporters for many years of single payers financing because it made a lot of sense. But a lot of the debate centered on that. And then as we got started on the campaign, we saw a lot of the debate center on policy terms, like the public option for the federal debate. And what we really set out from the beginning is to really try to frame it for what we were after, which is having really universal healthcare that had healthcare that met the needs of our communities. And so in the beginning stages of the campaign, we were really setting out to put the healthcare system on trial to show all the different ways that it is failing our communities the way it is currently set up, and bringing forth all the voices that were affected in our communities by this healthcare crisis. And at the same time, while we're doing that, building a grassroots organization throughout the state. So we have, over the last couple of years, been building regional organizing committees, people that have come in to get involved in the campaign and have increasingly become leaders on the campaign, like Cindy and Mary, who will be able to also add to this discussion. And also statewide work committees where, you know, we realized that we were never going to have the resources, the staff resources necessary to do all the pieces that would need to be done. But we could develop structures where the members of our campaign could lead the way. And as Katie mentioned, Mary chairs our policy committee, which uses our human rights principles to evaluate healthcare policy. And Cindy is also on our media committee, which in a variety of ways uses media and communication to try to build the movement. And so these are statewide committees, and we now have a steering committee made up of members of all the regional organizing committees and the statewide committees that are really at this point including hundreds of leaders of this healthcare human rights campaign all over the state, and it's been growing steadily and been exciting to watch grow. To talk about the different phases of our campaign, it really we've seen it. We just finished, in a sense, our third phase. As I said, we started this in 2008 with those goals. And from the onset, we realized that we were not going to have the capacity to really try to affect legislation coming out of the gate. So we spent the whole first year really thinking about how do we build that capacity? How do we know that we'll be able to have a shot at doing that and test ourselves in different ways? And at the same time, how do we build that foundation of what we're fighting for? And we went out with in the summer of 2008 with a simple survey and surveyed about 1,500 people over the summer and fall about what they thought about healthcare, some of their values, and then also some of their experiences. And that was the basis for the beginning part of the campaign. We ended up talking to hundreds of people that had what we were calling healthcare horror stories, just terrible things that happened to them and their families, and began bringing those, some of the most compelling, tragic, and all too common stories in our communities forward. And in the fall of 2008, held a series of healthcare human rights hearings. And we went out of our way not to invite legislators to these. We invited community leaders, faith community leaders, and other folks from the community to be on a community listening panel and hear testimony from all these cases in our communities of healthcare needs not being met and the tragic results of that. And then on Human Rights Day of 2008, we produced a report. It was based on these hearings and some other outreach and these surveys called Voices of the Vermont Healthcare Crisis. And for the most of the rest of the winter, we just started building for a big rally to come at the end of the legislative session. So this was the first time we started wanting to really put lawmakers on notice. And we built it as a healthcare is a human right rally on May 1st, which is International Labor Day, Workers' Rights Day. And we picked it in. It was a Friday, so it was during the legislative session. So we knew they would all be there. We knew that was going to be hard for us to do a rally on a weekday. And a lot of people said, well, don't do it on a weekday because your turnout won't be that big. But we focused all of our effort on that, and on May 1st, 2009, we ended up having 1,200 people, which in our small state is a lot of people, and actually afterwards we were told it was the largest weekday rally that the state capitol had seen for healthcare as a human right, and that for us was the end of our first phase. That was really our grassroots building phase. We had people come from all over the state to this, many of them took off work that day, came on a Friday, and we had a beautiful day and we started feeling the momentum and so at that point we said, okay, now we can start thinking about trying to pass legislation. And in the summer of 2009 we started taking postcards for calling for legislative action on universal health care. And there had been a bill that had been introduced, a single payer bill that we had looked at, we thought about from a human rights framework, and we said by far it was the best bill that we had seen that had been introduced. Vermont operates on a biennium, so on a two-year cycle. So 2009 was the first year of that cycle, so it's far easier to move a bill that had already been introduced than getting a whole new bill introduced in the second year. So it had not been taken up by the committee in any serious consideration, either our House or the Senate, and we asked for action on it in these postcards that we started getting signed. And then that fall, we started, so we talked to many, many people over the summer getting these postcards signed and building our organizing committees and having committee members being able to go out and do these in their work lives and neighborhoods and communities. And then in the fall, we had a series of 12 people's forums on healthcare around the state where we invited legislators to come. So this is the first time we actually asked legislators to come. And over total, about 80 legislators came to these. We started off everyone laying out the healthcare crisis, laying out exactly, some case studies, essentially, of some of the tragedies that are happening in our communities under the existing system. And really wanted to ground those events in that. And then in the next section of these forums, we laid out the five principles, which we had come to realize were the foundation of what having healthcare as a human right was. And we have all kinds of resources on our website about some of these. But they're universality, equity, accountability, transparency, and participation, and we got explained what we meant by those. But that's when our healthcare is a human right. This started becoming much more than just a rallying cry and a slogan, but we started defining what that would mean, and we laid that out. And then we made the case of why we wanted action on S88 based on seeing these, and asked legislators to be able to comment about how they will help us work to get over these obstacles that we know have been cited for why we can't move forward, and ask them to join us in having universal health care. So there was a lot of skeptics at the time, as you can imagine. People said it wasn't possible. We had a Republican governor at the time. They said there was no way there would be legislative action. The federal bill had just been, at that point, was in full debate, and they said, well, you have to wait to see how that works out, and all kinds of people saying that it wouldn't happen. But we, on the first day of the legislative session, we ended up delivering the postcards on January 5th of over 4,000 Vermonters calling for action on these on this bill. We had also, in the course of the forums, gotten a commitment from the senator who chaired the Health and Welfare Committee to take up the bill in a big hearing in an evening on January 13th that we ended up having over 300 of our members come to, and many of whom testified and had a big presence there. And we started building the momentum. In the course of that legislative session, which goes January until May, you know, thousands of calls, emails to legislators, people testifying, you know, lots of small meetings with legislators. And Cindy will talk more specifically about how some of that looks. And we started building the momentum. And this bill that we were first told wouldn't have a chance ended up, you know, getting taken more and more seriously. It passed out of the Senate overwhelmingly and went over to the House. And we started building up all of this time for a second big healthcare is a human right rally at the State House. This ended up being even bigger than the first one, over 1,500 people. S88 passed the House. It passed with such strong support that the Republican governor didn't veto it. We would have had a good, really good shot of overriding the veto. And it was a bill that called for setting up plans for how Vermont could establish universal health care. It stated that health care is a public good, and it also, in the designs, called for it to be on certain our human rights principles were embodied in the bill. It was not as far as, you know, we would want it to go, but we started to realize that this would be a multi-year fight. So that bill, S88, became Act 128. It ended up setting up a process where folks might have heard about, if you're joining this call, where we hired consultants. It became Dr. William Shao, a world-renowned healthcare systems architect from Harvard University, who led a team to figure out how Vermont could do this on a state level, taking into account the new federal bill. And then we went into an election season. And the first ad that our now governor ran in the Democratic primary, first TV ad that anyone took out, was for universal health care, for single-payer health care. And it became a huge issue in our election, and narrow both the primary, where now Governor Peter Shumlin won by 500 votes, and then a general election where he won by just 2,000 votes in the state election. We elected a governor who was championing universal health care all throughout his campaign because, you know, he could see that people were really getting organized around this issue. On the first day of the legislative session in 2011, we also held 12 people's forums on – or 15 people's forums with legislators – all over the state, candidates forums, with over 130 candidates and over 100 legislators who came, and we again were asking for action on this, on Act 128, and to move forward. That happened over in the fall, and then kickoff rally on the first day of the legislative session, where we brought 5,000 petition signatures from Vermonters asking for action on 128 to follow through with these designs. So you know, we realized that from any one year, you know, you have to, you know, they you can't determine what they're going to do the next year. So you have to make sure that they follow through with it. And so that's what we did in this, kicking off this session. Dr. Shao ended up producing the report, and that became some of the basis for a new bill that was introduced by the administration, H-202. It had many of the same the human rights principles from Act 128 and many of the same goals. But, you know, we thought should be strengthened, and we saw our role as pushing things to go, it happen as boldly, to move in this direction as boldly and as quickly as possible and be as strong as possible. And we ended up having many hearings, many phone calls. Cindy will talk about some of this as well, of just mobilizing thousands of ordinary Vermonters to make their voices heard, that when opponents started coming up, that we could just demonstrate to lawmakers that, yes, there are people that oppose this, but the majority of people in their communities that they're hearing from support it. And as folks know, we were able to pass H202 this past year. Some of the points of it, and I'll let others fill in more about this, that came up is that we realized that we needed to keep pushing the process forward. There was many attempts to weaken the bill and some amendments that were really troubling that happened along the way. One of which I'll draw up because it's an important it was very important to us and is I think a very much of national significance is there was an amendment at the very final stage after the bill had already passed the House. It was in the Senate. It was in its final reading in the Senate. There was a bill amendment to exclude undocumented workers. It's anyone here unlawfully in Vermont. It said shouldn't be access to the healthcare system. And we knew that couldn't happen under the exchange, which this bill does have built in the exchange. But where it gets to after the exchange is what is called Green Mountain Care. I'll get a little bit into the details of that. But they were able to pass an amendment 22-8 in our Senate, and a 22-8 vote. It was 22-8 Democrats in our Senate. So it was very much a lot of people voted for this amendment that had no business voting for it. But they took a conservative vote on it. In a matter of a couple of days, us and many other groups that we work with were able to mobilize literally thousands of Vermonters to let their legislators know and senators know that they were against excluding people in Vermont, undocumented workers that would be that we think should have access to the healthcare system. Really translates to thousands of dairy workers who work in our dairy industry, and our dairy industry would collapse if we didn't have their labor. But only because of a huge push of this grassroots movement were we able to get that amendment taken out in the final version from the conference committee. And it was another big feature of our third May 1st Healthcare is a Human Right rally, where this time we had over 2,000 people come. And it was really ended up being not only a victory on the bill, but an extra victory at the end of getting rid of this amendment. So I know folks want to hear more about some of the specifics of the bill. Just really quickly, so on May 26th, Vermont's Governor Peter Shumlin signed a law that creates a path for a universal publicly financed healthcare system in Vermont. It's making it the first state in the country to move towards such a system. The law states that Vermont will create the publicly financed Green Mountain Care to provide comprehensive coverage as a public good to all Vermont residents, regardless of income and health status or employment. That is what we won primarily because of this healthcare's human right advocacy, the principles, as I said, universality. All will be eligible regardless of immigration status, equity, financing plan that will be consistent with the principle of equity, accountability and transparency. So human rights principles as basis for governance and implementation, participation, process for public input into the decision-making, and that it's a public good, that healthcare must be provided as a public good for all. So our struggle for universal health care is far from over. Green Mountain Care will be implemented only after a number of conditions are met, including the requirements of federal health reform law. Some key decisions have been postponed to future legislative sessions, such as the financing mechanisms for the system and the design for the health benefits package. The timeline calls for financing proposals by January of 2013 and federal waiver application by 2015, earlier if Congress allows, and then implementation by 2017 at the latest. So insurance companies and whose business model really depends on restricting the access to care managed to keep their foot in the door, particularly because they were able to persuade legislators to remove a clause prohibiting the sale of private plans in the new public system. So therefore, it's most important for our struggle ahead that we will be financing healthcare as a public good through equitable contributions from all of Vermont's people and businesses. And the only way that we were able to get this far is because of the fact that ordinary Vermonters have overwhelmingly made their voices heard to their legislators that we must move in this direction. But we're facing more and more opposition. Money is coming in to try to stop us. So we will be doing everything we can to keep up the momentum. And we really see our struggle in Vermont to be part of a national struggle. And we're really excited to be on this call. So with that long-winded, I will turn it over to Cindy.
Hi, everyone.
Thank you so much. Great. Cindy, you're on.
Okay, great. Thanks, Katie. It's great to be on the call tonight with all of you. And I wanted to talk tonight a little bit about the regional organizing committees that we have. People become involved with the campaign for many different reasons. Some become involved because they have been personally affected by our broken healthcare system, others because they know someone who have been affected, or simply because they care about the rights of people in general. With the Northeast Kingdom Organizing Committee, which is the committee that I'm on, there's one young lady who's on there named Melissa who got involved with the campaign because she cares about social justice issues and because her mom has suffered by our healthcare system. Another member of our committee, Keith, became involved because he sees grassroots organizing as the most effective way to make a difference. I became involved because 11 years ago I had a blood clot in my head and suffered with chronic pain ever since. And despite having a job and private insurance, the financial burdens from the co-pays and deductibles led me to become medically bankrupt. I spoke at a people's hearings for human rights, which was the first event I went to held by the House Kids for Human Rights campaign, where I was finally able to share my story. Before that night, I had never realized that I had the power to make a difference, that I could help change a broken healthcare system, something that had made my life and the life of so many others, such a struggle. It was most definitely an amazing feeling. I had never realized how important my voice was until I'd gotten sick, and I definitely never realized how powerful many voices were, until I began organizing with the campaign. I also wanted to give you an idea of how we got to where we were with the organizing committees. Being spread out through the state, we've all come together, on many occasions, one being when we all testified along with 300 other Vermonters at the State House to the Joint Health Care Committees on the impact of the broken healthcare system was having on each of us. And this was a chance for our voices to be heard and our stories to be told. That day, we all wore our red Healthcare is a Human Right t-shirts, and it showed tremendous unity and strength. The others, which James touched upon as well, was when we held a series of people's hearings and forums within the past 3 years, starting with 8 hearings the first year, 10 the next, and then the last one was 15 people's forums throughout the state. Those were so important. People had the opportunity, again, to be heard and to share their story. It was an opportunity to meet new people, and we were able to tell the legislators what our plan was. We also generated the thousands of calls and emails to members of our community, including our legislators. We contacted the sergeant at arms and left messages to have them deliver them to the legislators. And we also called the members of our community and asked them to do the same. Another thing that we did regular throughout the state was meet with our local representatives in our communities and even in our own kitchen. Just recently, the reason, this is so important for, many reasons, but the other day I was down the street, and I ran into my local representative, and she asked me if I knew of anyone that we could consider for the Green Mountain Care Board, and if I did, to let her know. And the thing about it is a few years ago, that wouldn't have happened. She wouldn't have known who I was, and unfortunately, I wouldn't have known who she was either. So that was definitely made a difference. Members of the Regional Organizing Committee also take part in committees statewide and the Statewide Steering Committee, the Media, Base Building, and Policy Committees. Another opportunity that I had was to give a community presentation about the campaign to a few different organizations, including the Good Living Senior Center, to our local social services, and at different letter writing and potluck events. These are other great ways to meet new people and to talk to them about our grassroots movement. Some organizing tools that were mentioned as well, which are great ways to open the door to the people in the organization, were the postcards and written petitions, which we delivered thousands to the State House. And we're also doing a stories project where folks from all over the state are giving video testimonies. And we're also doing a photo petition project, and that is called Picture Healthcare as a Human Right. Every face has a story. The photo petitions, these are a great way to build a greater bond with people and, you know, to put a face to our movement. You know, when we put pictures, these pictures that we take, we're putting them on a postcard and we've mailed them to our legislators. And we're able to reach broad support to our legislators in that way. And, you know, another thing we've all done was help to organize the May 1st March and Rally by making phone calls, sending emails, putting up posters, and organizing carpools. And 2,000 people were there to celebrate, you know, healthcare is a human right. And that was, you know, a tremendous feeling at the end of the day when we all got together and really, you know, sat down and talked about it after. You know, our movement is built, you know, on people talking with, you know, their neighbors, friends, and family, you know, about the issues that affect them most. And by, you know, standing together, our stories will be heard, and we can all make a difference. You know, it's building a movement and organizing, you know, at the grassroots that we've been able to make change. And with that, I will pass it back to Katie, and thank you again.
Cindy, thank you so much. I just want to underscore how powerful it is to hear from you in the Northeast Kingdom of Vermont talking about the amazing organizing work you've done. And so now we're going to move it to Mary Garish, who's going to talk to us a little more about the human rights framing with the campaign. Mary, are you there?
I am here. Thanks very much, and I think that Cindy brought up some really important points, and so did James, about stories and pictures and faces telling a story. Because for me, and I think for the people of Vermont, the reason that the human rights framework has worked so well all has to do with that, and has to do with how human rights are totally a unifying factor in the struggle. And what I mean by that is that there are five principles, but the first one is universality, and that's very simple, and I'm sure you've all heard us say this before, but that means if you're human, you get it. Everybody in, nobody out. Doesn't matter on your citizenship, doesn't matter on your religion, your race, or your any other orientation, and that's really important, I believe, because all of the factors that are traditionally used by the powers that be, lobbyists, big business, to try and divide an issue are all disintegrated within the context of the human rights framework. Your economic status doesn't matter, and really cost doesn't matter. And although we have lots of arguments that we can address why the system that Vermont will have will be cheaper dollar-wise, the true cost that we want to emphasize is the cost to humanity in having a broken system and not having all human beings enjoy their right to health care. And this is something that when we tell each other our stories, we realize that whether we're rich or poor, whether we're American Indian such as myself, or white Anglo-Saxon, it doesn't matter because we all suffer because we're all human and we all have health problems. And that unifies us beyond all other boundaries. And I think that's why the people of Vermont were able to accomplish this, because they realized that they are all human and they are all in this framework. And no matter which organizing committee we or anybody else goes to, from the Northeast Kingdom to Bennington, which is the very south of the state, we know that the five human rights principles are going to be the same. There's not going to be arguing over specific provisions of a benefit package. There's not going to be arguing over who's entitled to what, because it's all based on equity, participation, accountability, transparency, and universality. And that, I believe, is why this framework is so important and why it works, because it changes the way people normally think of the power structure is, you know, I go to my legislator and I ask them to do something, or I've got this bill I want them to pass. But that isn't how this worked, and that isn't how human rights work, because human rights embraces the humanity of all people and says, you are the ones that are doing the work. You are the ones that have the power. If you stand together, your voices can be heard and will be heard, and your legislators will not be able to ignore it. So by all the people of Vermont, with the help of organizing committees, standing together and asserting their human rights, it got to a point where the legislators couldn't ignore them. Even when the legislators told us at the last minute, look, if you insist on deleting this immigration amendment where only citizens can be covered, you may lose all your other points. It has to be universal health care, and that means all human beings. And guess what? It worked, because all of the human beings in Vermont who know they're a community working together for the betterment of each other and of the whole actually did stand up and say, this is what we're going to do, and the legislators listened. And I'll stop there because I don't want to take up any more time. Thank you very much.
Oh, Mary, thank you. And we're going to move to our last speaker, Anya Rudiger. And just to throw in another reminder to folks that if you have questions as you're listening or questions for the folks on the line, you can email them to me at Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at healthcare-now.org. And Anya, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Katie. Thank you. And thank you. It's been such an honor to be able to be a supporter of the Vermont Workers Center. It's been an incredible struggle, a struggle that will continue. And I just want to stress that this, what all the speakers have already been saying, that this first universal health care law in the country is really rooted in a people's movement. And I think it's just so important for us to understand it and to understand also that the Vermont Workers Center built this movement using human rights both for organizing and mobilizing people and for policy analysis and advocacy. So it was a long-term, sustainable organizing strategy that is continuing, and that enabled the Workers Center to change the public and political discourse on healthcare, and it created the political space for action by elected officials. So the point is that political change doesn't start with legislative proposals. It precedes them, and it makes them possible in the first place. I work with healthcare activists across the country here at the National Economic and Social Rights Initiative. So I'd like to help share this Vermont model so that we can achieve similar successes elsewhere. So I really just want to give a brief summary of what I think it took to get this far And all of the points have been elaborated by the folks from the Worker Center that you just heard. So just by ways of a summary, I think it was key that the Worker Center was really open to change the way it works, to try something new. So they made an assessment that just pushing for a single-payer bill every year doesn't work, and so they started a completely new approach, a completely new campaign. That is also, and that's the second piece, that's embedded in a broader movement for social change. It's not actually only about healthcare. The goal is the more structural social change and social justice more generally. So it's not about just one health care bill. So I think that's important to understand the context and why they were able to take it that far and why I know they will be able to take it all the way until the system is implemented. So just wanted to highlight the two pieces, I think, that are so important to understanding why this worked. So there's, as we've heard, the principled approach to the campaign. That is, the human right to the healthcare is a human right campaign has built this broad-based people's movement guided by principles such as universality and equity, rather than by specific policy or legislative proposals such as single payer. So by that, it shifted the focus from the cost containment argument to a focus on people's collective needs and rights. And so, as Mary said, that means the campaign placed people at the center of policy and practice. And that is what enabled them to build the people power and to challenge existing power relationships. So the campaign managed in this way to embed human rights principles in the discourse. And this enabled Vermont to move away from looking at healthcare as a market commodity. And in policy terms, that means it brings us much closer to treating healthcare as a public good, financed through equitable contributions from all of us through taxation. So, but this, the principled approach is a part and parcel of the overall grassroots organizing model that drove this effort. So again, it's important to repeat that there wasn't a legislative focus from the start, and there still isn't in a way. It didn't start with collecting signatures. It didn't amount to like an inside push for a particular bill. There wasn't a focus on lobbying. So while all of this at some point happened, it was done by the people who had engaged in a long, long process of organizing on the ground prior to that. So there wasn't a reliance on legislative actions as a vehicle to boost organizing, but it was the other way around. Legislative successes helped grow the movement, but they were never really the entire focus of this movement, which is an ongoing movement for social change. That's why when, you know, the single-payer bill that was introduced in the Vermont legislature every year for the past decade or so, that bill never really moved anywhere or had a chance of moving because there was no people power behind it. And so when the Vermont Worker Center changed the way it approached healthcare advocacy, that's when they were able to start moving the legislators. So it started with the people, not with the legislators. And only then became legislative action a realistic possibility. So the approach is a people-centered approach that starts with listening and engaging people. It's a unifying approach, as Mary explained. It brings people together, and it is a deeply participatory approach that's from bottom up. It's about organizing, mobilizing people, enabling people to claim their rights. And then finally, I think it's important to understand that that this is all about collective action. It's engaging people as collective agents, not as individual casualties of the system. Of course, a lot of people are casualties in the way that we've suffered in the system, as Cindy explained. But, you know, Cindy showed that people like her are people who act and who act collectively. So this is also not about individual heroes, as, you know, we often see in the mass media. This is about people becoming empowered to take action, and I think this is pretty important to understand. So just in closing, to summarize, I think it's just so remarkable that this campaign has used human rights both as an organizing tool and as an analytical frame for advocacy and has been so successful in that. So I think we can learn from this and perhaps achieve something similar elsewhere in the country. And perhaps tonight would be a good time to start thinking about what that would take and how we can all help each other. And then just not to forget, I mean, we should also all continue supporting the ongoing struggle in Vermont, because the transition from law to reality will require a lot more organizing, and the Worker Center is gearing up for the big fight over how to finance the system equitably. So the Vermont Worker Center has done amazing work, and they deserve our solidarity. Thank you.
Thank you, Anya. So we're going to move back to James to tell folks a little bit about how we can support the Vermont Worker Center outside of Vermont, and then we're going to move into some Q&A. I'm going to propose that we extend the call for another 5 minutes so we can get to some of the questions that have been sent in. So without further ado, back to James. James, what can we do to support the Worker Center outside of Vermont?
Thanks, Katie. And I'll try to be as quick as I possibly can. We've gotten a lot of people that have asked. We really do see this work in our state as part of building a national movement. We are very interested, as Anya suggests, of having serious discussions with folks around the country about how do we do this on a statewide level, and then how do we build a national movement. And we very much want to be part of that. Those discussions and do whatever we can, use the lessons we've learned and learn from you all. There's no doubt that we are going to be facing increasing amounts of national opposition. Vermont does not make a whole lot of money for the national healthcare industry, percentage-wise, but we are an incredibly bad example for them if we succeed in this. And so it's very easy for them to buy up our media markets, throw lots of money into our little elections, and really scare our elected officials and try to scare people in general as much as possible. And so we think the best way to combat that stuff, we're never going to have as much money as they are, but we can do a lot of great work in combating it through organizing and having people hear about this from their neighbors, from the folks in the organizing committee, at their faith places of worship, their businesses, in their neighborhood, and so on. So we do need all the help we can get. We're asking people, we're not in this, this is not going to be a short fight. We have at least a couple of years ahead of us to see this through. We're asking people to become monthly sustainers. And we figure that if enough people give, $10, $20, $50 a month, that, we'll be able to sustain this movement give a special gift of whatever you can. We have a way to do it secure online on our website. That's workercenter.org/donate. Or people can send us a check. Our address is Vermont Worker Center, 294 North Winooski, that's Winooski Ave, in Burlington, Vermont, 05401. You can look us up, but thank you so much. We are very much see solidarity as a two-way venture, and we want to be there for you all, and we're going to need all the support we can get. Thanks very much.
Great. Thanks, James. So let's get started with some Q&A. I think the folks on the line have a lot of insight into the some of the same parallel situations folks around the country are facing. We received a great question from Forrest Harlan, who's president of a chapter of Healthcare for All California. And in his question, he states that they're situated in a more rural area of the state. Many people see it as a conservative area. And so his question in summary is whether or not to pursue value-based messaging or the economic messaging. In other words, are there specific value-based messages that would appeal to small-town residents? Are there specific economic messages to appeal to this audience? And I know that Cindy's based in the Northeast Kingdom, which is a very rural part of Vermont, and I was thinking it would be great to hear her reflections on this.
Oops, sorry about that.
Hey, are you there, Cindy?
I am. I was, as far as being in a rural area, I know up here it can be very conservative in the Northeast Kingdom. You know, they call it the Northeast Kingdom, and they combine three counties up here. And I can see definitely where, you know, he's coming from. It can be difficult, but when you look at it from the approach of, you know, the human rights perspective, that can make all the difference, you know, in the world. When you're talking about people's stories and looking at it from that perspective, people, it makes a difference in that sense. When I went down to our local grocery store, and I stood out there for several hours, and I was passing out information to people and talking with them, they amazingly opened up and started sharing their stories with me. And you'd be amazed at how many people will start opening up and will start connecting with the situation, you know, with healthcare, when you start looking at it on a poor personal level, when they start, you know, basing it on a human rights level. I'm not sure if that answers that question at all.
No, that was great. Is there anything else anyone would like to add?
This is Mary, and I would like to say that I totally agree with what Cindy just said, and that Bennington is also, in large part, a conservative county in a lot of ways. And our organizing committee also took the approach of, instead of when people talked about cost in economic arguments, what we did was we tried to divert the conversation back to the human rights perspective. So if someone said, well, what's it going to cost people, or it's going to cost too much, or this sort of thing, we asked them which one of their friends, neighbors, or relatives would they choose to not have the health care that they need, because that puts it on a more personal level, and that sort of brings them back to the level of humanity and human rights. I don't think anyone can answer that question because it's, well, you'd have to be a pretty cold person.
Yeah, just to add to that, that human rights aren't necessarily, it's not about saying it. It's not about saying this is the rights and this is an international framework or something. That's not what it's about. It's really about highlighting the personal, what are your own experiences, what are your neighbor's experiences, and what do you see as a community or as a church or something. So it's talking about those things, and I've also found those very effective. I've worked on the ground in a very conservative community in Montana, and you wouldn't believe the kind of community spirit people have there. They just want to come together and do things right for their neighbors and themselves. So it's not about abstract principles. It's about doing things together with your community.
Great. I want to move to another question while we still have everyone on the line. Something that I thought was very instructive as this process went forward in Vermont was the opposition of the biggest employer in the state, IBM, to the proposal for a universal publicly funded system. Something I hear from members, Healthcare Now members around the country is, you know, why doesn't corporate America support single payer or moving to this kind of universal publicly funded system, which seems like a no-brainer that it would be good for them. Could people on the line speak to the experience of IBM coming out against this bill going forward and how they feel like that informs our work in Vermont and around the country?
Yes, I think James could speak to it, but I would just like to say we had actually a lot of that in Bennington with employers and insurance companies, and I believe that the reason corporations are not in favor of it is because they're very used to a different power structure, which does not involve the people having the voice democracy guarantees them. They're used to a structure where they can pay lobbyists who can then go lobby the legislators and get laws passed if they want. And I think it frightens them to think that the power structure may change if the people's voices are truly heard. And IBM certainly is a very large employer. And I might add, they live with universal health care in most other countries of the world and don't have a problem with it. So the reason I believe that they're opposing it here, in addition to being self-insured, is because they're afraid of the change to the power structure and what that might mean for them as employers if their employees all of a sudden find out that, yes, in fact, they do have a very big voice in what happens to them as human beings.
Yeah, that's totally right. I think we're a workers' rights organization, so we've been, thinking about these kind of questions around employers and employment-based healthcare for a long time. And, one of the other factors is, in reality, businesses like, IBM and other big businesses, although they pay a tremendous amount of healthcare, of their money to healthcare, and, they make more money, you can make the economic case. And this gets to really the previous question. This case has been made in Vermont, as it has been in many places, that that basically the economy will function better if we have single payer health care. And for many businesses, that might be true on one level, that they could save money on one level around having health care be financed. But what we realize from a workers' rights standpoint, they lose a tremendous amount of leverage over their employees. Right now, so many people are really stuck, for their family's access to health care to certain jobs. When we have one of the things that is most exciting about when we have this universal health care, where health care is no longer tied to employment or tied to any other factor, that everyone has it, people are going to be able to do all kinds of things with their lives that they really wanted to do for a long time, and including stopping working, jobs that are not good for them and not good for their mental and physical health. And employers, are able to keep people. It's a great retention program for employers. So there is real interest for them not to do it, even if it, on one level they would save money if it was, if it wasn't such a wasteful system. But in the big picture, as Mary said, it really goes against everything that the corporate America is really pushing. They're really trying to privatize everything that they can and try to figure out ways to make money, especially all the ways that when we have an industry that makes as much money as the healthcare industry does, you better believe that the chambers of commerce and the real power structures of corporate America are going to be trying to maintain that. So. The framing of human rights, of the struggles in our communities and the real tragedies that impact our families, it's really hard to argue with. If you are defending the status quo, that means you're defending those awful things happening in our community. And, legislators can't do that. And especially in rural conservative areas, people have strong moral values, and people don't want to see this stuff happening. You'll go to these communities, and right on the convenience store counter will be some fundraising drive trying to raise money for somebody to get some medical procedure, and the people really have these values, and they do care about it, and so what we've been able to find is that going and organizing with people based on their experiences and the experiences of their friends and family has been a powerful way of bringing people together. And also been a good way of not letting us getting derailed and diverted when it comes to these policy fights.
Thank you so much, James. So we really have time for one more question, and I'd like for folks on the line to speak to the role of faith communities in the work that you did with the Healthcare as a Human Right campaign. I know Mary is very involved, I believe, in the Episcopal Church and the Interfaith Coalition in Vermont, and that's definitely something we have prioritized with our work at Healthcare Now, and I'd really like to hear how the faith community responded to the Healthcare as a Human Right campaign and helped to move that forward.
Yes, I would love to address that, because we, in terms of faith communities, I think every faith community, and it really doesn't matter whether it's the Baha'is or whether it's a Jewish synagogue or whether it's a mosque or whether it's a Christian church. Every faith community has certain values about taking care of their neighbor. And therefore, when it really gets right down to human rights, and as James was talking about, taking care of people in your own community, faith communities have been very strong. And in fact, in the recent argument with the amendment relative to undocumented persons, we had a lot of faith community members, bishops, rabbis, who wrote emails to the legislators saying, this is not acceptable. This is a social justice issue. And I think that, and the faith communities have also been very good at about hosting many of our forums because it is a social justice issue. And I think that it's a really valuable resource because faith communities find it a moral imperative to take care of their brothers and sisters. And I think that is, and it also provides people with an inner framework for doing this kind of work where they're really in it for the long haul despite any disappointments that might come along. So I, for me at least, it's been an invaluable resource.
Excellent. I know that folks from the Vermont Workers Center have traveled to other places around the country to do trainings on the Healthcare as a Human Right campaign. I know for certain that you've traveled to Ithaca, New York, and to Maryland. How can people get in touch with you, James, to find out about trainings or more materials around the Healthcare as a Human Right campaign that they might be able to learn more about the work?
Great. Well, thank you so much. Yes, people can give us a call. They can send us an email. They can go to our website. Our website is workercenter.org. If you want to go straight to our healthcare stuff, you can go to healthcareisahumanright.org. You want to give us a call, you can call me at 802-272-0882. You can send an email at info@workerscenter.org, all one word. We would love to continue working with folks, and thank you so much for hosting this, Katie, and thanks so much for everyone for coming on the line.
Great. I just want to underscore, you know, this was a great discussion tonight, and I think it's really incredible the tactics you used to build a movement throughout Vermont, and I think we have a lot to learn from the success there, and so I look forward to continuing working with you as we grow this and keep pushing for the healthcare system we so desperately need in this country. So with that, we're going to conclude the call, and we'll be circulating notes and a recording shortly. And again, thank you everyone for joining in the discussion. If you have further questions, please feel free to email me, and we'll definitely follow up. So thanks again, and good night, everyone.